You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
If you've ever been in with a new group of people, maybe it's a new job at work, or maybe you're in the midst of a leadership retreat or something like that, or you're just with a new group of people, often we start those experiences with some icebreakers, an opportunity to get to know the people around us. And so one of those icebreakers that I keep seeing happening often is called Two Truths and a Lie. How many of you have ever played Two Truths and a Lie? Right? The goal of this game is everyone goes around and they say three statements. And two of those statements are true about themselves and one is a lie. And the goal of everybody else is to try and figure out which is the untrue statement. And so to give you an example of what that looks like today, we're going to play that with Pastor Gerber, Two Truths and a Lie. And so I'm going to say three statements and you all have to try and figure out which one is the lie. And so the first statement that I want you to think about today is that I got a perfect score on my Hebrew final at seminary. I had Dr. Egger was my professor. He's now the president of Concordia Seminary. Every morning we got together and we would open class and we would greet each other saying, Boker Tov. Boker Tov, good morning is what that means in Hebrew. And then we would recite Genesis 1:1, Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashemayim ve'et Haaretz. No, okay, all right. So then we would go on with class and learn how to read Hebrew and learn the words and learn all that. And so so that's one of the statements. Then at the very end of that class, at the end of that 10 weeks, I got 100% on my final. Okay. The other statement to consider is that I'm a part of the 1,000-pound club. And if you don't know what that is, you take your deadlift, you take your squat max, and you take your bench press max, and you add them all together. And if you get over 1,000, you become part of the 1,000-pound club. And so I've been working out at CrossFit for a number of years. Just to be clear, this was before I had hip surgery and knee surgery, but we're on our way back towards that goal. The third statement to consider is that I'm related to a presidential assassin. My grandma's maiden name is Helen Oswald. The Oswalds, when they came over to America, there were two different groups of them. I say that my grandma was in the good group and that Lee Harvey Oswald, JFK's assassin, was in the other group. But that would make me ultimately, through a long line of people, related to a presidential assassin. All right, so those are the three statements that you're considering today, that I had got a perfect score on my Hebrew final, I am part of the 1,000-pound club, and I'm related to a presidential assassin. Two of those are true, one of them is false. If you think the first one is false, a lie, raise your hand. Okay, if you think the second one is false, raise your hand. If you think the third one is false, raise your hand. My total is 808, I'm only in the 750-pound club. And Paul knows that because he can lift more than me every morning. But everything else is true. I did ace the Hebrew final, and I am related to Lee Harvey Oswald through a long line of things. Right? But so this is a fun game to play when it's about people and when you get to know people. And now some of you might not think it's fun because you have to think about yourself and make things up. But it's pretty innocent, right? Because eventually I'm going to tell you the truth. But if you notice, it's hard to tell always what's true and what's not true. And that's not just true for Two Truths and a Lie. That's not just true for games to icebreakers to get to know each other. But it's also true in life and in faith. And that's why today we're going to start a six-week series on the book of 1 John. 1 John is an epistle written by the evangelist John, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John, the same guy who wrote the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation, right? Not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a different guy. He ended up being beheaded during Jesus' life. But this is the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? This is the Peter, James, and John, those three, one of the closest disciples of Jesus that wrote this. And it was written around 90 AD. So if Jesus was born at 0, 90 AD, right, is 90 years after he was born. John was probably about 80 at this time. He was the youngest of the disciples. And he was concerned because there were people who were spreading lies, who were trying to mix in lies with the truth, and he wanted people to know. And again, John is about an 80-year-old man, and he's kind of gotten unfiltered by this point. Because he doesn't care if he offends someone, he just wants you to know the truth. Maybe you've been at a gathering, a family gathering, with an uncle or a grandma or a grandpa or someone who just doesn't have a filter anymore, right? They just say whatever they want to say, and if you're not sure who that is, it might be you. But we all have those people in our lives who just say what needs to be said. And it's good for us to be able to hear what needs to be said. And so John, as he introduces this epistle, he has two truths and a lie for us that he wants us to make sure that we know. But first he wants to establish his credibility. Why should we listen to this guy? He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John is saying, remember, I'm the guy who saw the risen Jesus, who heard the risen Jesus. Not only that, I touched him. He is risen. He is the word of life. This life was made manifest. We have seen it with our own eyes. We testify to it with our own mouths and proclaim to you eternal life. Right, that because Jesus is risen from the dead, that he has died for your sins, he has risen to new life, and he offers you forgiveness of sins and eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So that which we have seen and which we have heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true. John is saying, this is true. And he's saying, this is what you need to know. Because there's starting to be lies spread. This is what you need to know. First, he says, this is the message that we've heard from him, from Jesus, the risen Jesus himself, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What's interesting is when you know the author, you can start to look at what else he has written, right? God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. John is the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John that begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot comprehend it. Light defeats darkness. When you turn on that flashlight in the midst of darkness, there is light, right? And the darkness is gone. This is the same John who at the end of his gospel wrote about the Easter morning. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. For Mary, for many of the disciples, they thought that darkness had won. They thought that darkness had overcome the light. But just like tomorrow, when it will become dark for a short period of time, just like that only lasts for a moment, so too did these 3 days only last for a moment, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. And that darkness, that light that overcomes the darkness is the light of the world, that God is light. And that's the first truth that John wants you to know today. He also wants you to know that because God is light, that you have fellowship with that light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in this light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? We have fellowship. We have community in the light. Easter is not just for individuals. Easter brings us into a community of people. John talks about that fellowship that we have with other believers before he talks about the forgiveness of sins. This fellowship is incredibly important, not only with each other, but with the Father and the Son, right? That you too would have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. All right, we are brought into fellowship, and John wants you to know these are the truths, but there are also some lies that are starting to be sown into what you're hearing. And these lies, they might sound good, They might sound pleasing to your ears. You might want to believe them. You may have even heard them often enough that you just assume that they are true. And the first one is that if we say we have fellowship with Jesus, with the Father, while we walk in darkness, that we lie and we do not practice the truth. Right, if we claim to be a follower of Jesus, but we walk in darkness, we're living a life of lies. And that's a lie that's been sown into our culture as well, that you can be a follower of Jesus, but do whatever you want. That's a lie that Satan wants you to believe today, that you can come to the waters of baptism and because you're saved, go do whatever you want. Or you can have Jesus in your heart, Jesus in your life, but because of that you can do whatever you want. Even in our Lutheran doctrine, if we just look at one little piece of it, we might start to pull this idea out, because one of the foundational verses for what we believe is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, right? 7th and 8th graders and 6th graders and 5th graders, this is your memory work for next Friday, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. And so we might read those two verses and say, well, if it's not my own doing, if this grace is a free gift and I don't have to do anything for it, then it doesn't matter what I do. If this is not a result of my works, it doesn't matter what I do. But the problem is we read two verses and then decide not to read the third verse, which is Ephesians 2:10 that says we are God's workmanship. We are his handiwork, his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. And what's that purpose? To do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should, right, those good works, that we should walk in them, that we should walk in the light. And that's what we're called to, not walk in darkness, but to walk in the light. What does that look like? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Right? To walk in the light means to walk in fellowship with one another. Right? Again, this lie that my faith is just about me and Jesus and it doesn't matter about community gets sown into our faith quite a bit. That if I have Jesus in my heart, that's all that I need. But John very clearly reminds us of the need for community, of the need for fellowship, of the need for gathering together. It's really easy in this time of online worship to isolate ourselves. And there is definitely a need and definitely a place for online worship. Our elders just had this conversation last week. But it is not the same as being in person. It is not the same as gathering together with fellow believers, with community, with fellowship, to hear God's word and to receive his grace. So we are called to walk in the light. We are called to have fellowship with one another. Also, later in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 3, John says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Notice, command is in there twice. Not an option, a command, that we should love one another. And Greek has multiple words for the word love, just like English has multiple words for the word love. But this really means that we should serve one another. It's the word agape, which is a selfless love that is considers the well-being of others more important than our own. Right? A command, not an option, to serve one another. So what does it look to walk in the light, to have fellowship with one another, to serve one another? And then if anyone has the world's goods and sees a brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So to walk in the light is to have fellowship with one another, to serve one another, and to be generous to one another. Again, if the lie of this individualism creeps into our lives, it's about me and Jesus, I need to take care of myself, and so I need to hold on to everything that I can to take care of myself. But that's not what God calls us to. God has been generous to us so that we can be generous to others. And we're called to do that as individuals. When we see someone in need, if God has given us the ability to care for them, we're called to care for them. But also, as we see in the book of Acts, as we see in the Gospel of John, at the end of that, we are called to something greater as well. And so that's why we can look to other ways to help support others in need, and there are many different great, wonderful nonprofits in our community. And I can't speak to exactly what each of them do, but I can tell you what happens when you are generous at Trinity. And when you're generous to the congregation here at Trinity, you are making disciples. You are caring for the sick. You are caring for the needy. You are caring for the grieving. You're also, your money is going places where you cannot. We just got some information in the last couple weeks that we help support Lutheran Bible translators. And a couple weeks ago, they were able to get printed Bibles of the New Testament in Czech Kalagari. And they were able to hand it out to the people so that they were able to hear God's word in their own language for the first time. Right? And you are a part of that. Also, as you are a part of serving something greater, you also get to be a part of the district and help support the district that's helping churches and missions tell the good news of Jesus in this state, as well as the synod, which is helping tell the good news of Jesus in this country and in this world. And so as you are generous with Trinity, you are doing those things. Also, as you're generous in the school, right? 10% of the students that come to Trinity don't have a church home. And so when those students come to Trinity, they get to hear about Jesus every single day. And so you are making disciples in the school as you support that mission. Also, we hear this often as kids graduate out of Trinity. Their parents will tell us that they know more about, their kids know more about Jesus than they do. Right? And so we've gotten to walk alongside those parents and help teach those kids about Jesus so that they would know him in a safe place to learn and grow. And then as you're generous with the Early Childhood Center, again, children, a percentage of those children who have no church home, who get to, from the very earliest of ages, from their most impressionable times, be able to hear about who Jesus is, be able to sing songs that Jesus is alive, and we serve a mighty God, and because of that, we have no need to worry. And those songs are stuck in their minds day after day and year after year. My kids were actually singing the third one. It was a VBS song from 3 years ago, and they still knew it because they heard it over and over and over again. Right? God is a giver. God is a servant, and God is a God of fellowship. And so to walk in the light looks like that, being in fellowship with one another, serving one another, and being generous towards one another. That's the truth that John wants you to know today, that through Jesus, you have fellowship with the Father and the Son. Through Jesus, you are called to serve, and through Jesus, you are called to be generous people. Why? So that your joy, so that our joy may be complete. John in his gospel also wrote that these things are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he tells us that which we have seen and which we have heard, we proclaim to you also, so that today you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy, your joy, and his joy may be complete. Amen? Amen. Amen.